Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and today we are going to be talking about running apps and gadgets. You'll have to excuse my voice. I've got a cold that turned into a chest cold because I did not take my own advice and I ran intervals when I had a head cold, and now all I have is a chest cold and deep, deep regret. So don't do that. But to start off with, I thought I'd talk about some free apps because that's usually the best place to start. It's the best entry point. Most people have a phone and when you're starting out, you don't necessarily want to spend huge amounts of money on a GPS watch, and there are loads of options on the phone, so it's a great place to start. Probably the one that I would tend to recommend, and it's the one that we tend to recommend people in Learn to Run use, is RunKeeper, and that's because you can add in custom intervals, so it's easy, like in Learn to Run, where you have a coach and they're setting your program for you to add in custom intervals and not use one of their generic training plans. And it also has audio prompts, which I think is really important for when you're starting to run, because the less you can think about it, the better. It just makes it so much easier not to be trying to run and look at a screen and just, you know, and sort of overthink it and all the rest of it. So that's sort of one of the big selling points, I think, of RunKeeper. There are things that are similar to RunKeeper, like RunMeter, which I think is particularly tends to work well with the Apple iWatch, but it doesn't have audio prompts as far as I know, so people who are using it tend to switch away from it relatively quickly. Endomondo is another quite popular running app, and the paid version is awesome, but it doesn't allow a lot of customization in the free version. So I would say, in general, if you're willing to pay for it, then it's probably worthwhile and it's a really cool app to use. Another app which is free, which you can use, is Strava, but I really think that Strava works best if you are syncing with a running watch rather than just purely using it as an app, just because it doesn't do intervals. So if you want to go for a 30-minute run and record it, Strava is great for that. But if you want something like, say, 3 minutes run, 1 minute walk with prompts, it's not going to do that. So it's one of those things where it's less of an interval-based app or an app that's going to prompt you, and much of a more of a social network for runners. So you can sync it with your watch, and you know, you can upload all of your activities. You can put posts up there. You can sort of engage with other people. You can follow people, and you can like give people kudos or comment on their stuff. So it's awesome, and I use it. But if you are sort of looking for it as a RunKeeper thing, not so great. It doesn't sync automatically with things like RunKeeper and Endomondo, so you either need to export and upload them yourself, or you can use a third-party running app like RunGap, which will sort of sync your RunKeeper stuff to Strava. So it's not as smooth as if you were using a GPS device. So really, I would probably see Strava as only worthwhile if you do have a GPS running watch, or if you are really happy to just record your run and you're not kind of needing any prompts as to when to run and when to have your recovery period and things like that. There is a paid version of Strava which allows for, essentially, it's more stats basically. So it would be things like suffer scores, custom heart rate zones, things like that. So if you're into stats, I have the premium version because I use Strava a lot and it's worth it to me. But it's definitely not something you need just to use the app. It's more like if you want all of the bells and whistles. From there, probably the next step up would be a GPS running watch. I've always used Garmin watches, and so that's mostly what I'll be speaking about. But for most things, you can find a comparable version in like Polar or Suunto or any other brand that you want to look at. But usually with the Garmin, they start off with a basic one, which would be like the 15 or the 35. It will do your activity tracking, will do your all-day heart rate. It will do very basic walk-run intervals. And if that's where you're at, that's all you'll ever need to do. If you like to use Strava, it will sync with that, or it will sync with pretty much anything else. Garmin Connect have their own program which will house all of your stats. It does take a little bit of a learning curve to wrap your head around Garmin Connect, but once you do, it's pretty good. And then probably the next step up from that would be something like the 235, which has similar kind of like heart rate and activity tracking features, but a lot more customization in your workouts. So instead of just having the ability for like walk run, you could like create a session in Garmin Connect, which is like 10 minutes warm up and then, you know, like four strides of, you know, like 30 second acceleration, and then like, you know, 2 minute recovery, and then you can have two sets of like 2x400 meters at this pace or in this heart rate zone or at this speed with this amount of recovery. I mean, basically any kind of workout that you could possibly think of, you could fairly easily create in Garmin Connect and then sync to that watch, which is one of the real benefits of upgrading from your basic level to that level. And there are a whole bunch of other stats that come along with it, like things like VO2 max and, you know, lots of other things that are fun to look at. Not really necessary, but lots of fun anyway. It'll show you things like cadence, which can be useful if that's something that you're working on. And it will give you very, very generous race predictions. It will also try to kind of like estimate what your recovery time is from sessions and stuff like that. And although I don't really tend to use that as a hard and fast thing, I think that I do tend to use like the resting heart rate. Like when I see the resting heart rate is going up, that's usually a sign that I need another rest day. So for vast majority of anyone, that was all you would ever need. But as with anything, you could always go up. So next after that would probably be going into something like the Phoenix, which does everything that the 235 does, except that it looks a little bit prettier and it has even more stats. And I think for most people with the going up to the Phoenix, it's more that they can wear it as a dress watch as well as their running watch. And I think that's sort of probably the main reason why people would get it. But also the battery life tends to be a lot better. So that's another reason why you might upgrade, particularly if you are doing a lot more things like, you know, really long runs, or you're looking at an endurance event like a 50-kilometer run, or, you know, like a 35-kilometer walk or whatever it is. The last thing that you want is for it to run out of juice when you're about to finish. So those are definitely things to consider with those more sort of those higher end watches. One thing to be aware of with some other brands of watches is that the, say for example, Fitbit, which is super popular, the Ioniq is the only one that actually has inbuilt GPS, and maybe I think also the model above the Ioniq. All the other ones are either connecting to your phone's GPS, or it's based on sort of steps and it's an estimate, which if it's there primarily as an activity tracker is fine, it's no big deal, you know, like an estimate is all you need. But if you want to use it as a running watch, that does become problematic because it's not overly accurate. And it's similar to with things like the Apple iWatch. Now they have inbuilt GPS, which is awesome, but it's really a smart watch with running features. It's not a running watch, so it is just not going to have the level of capabilities that a running watch has. There are going to be more limitations on that, and the accuracy is going to suffer. And particularly with the Apple Watch, the heart rate is in the first sort of like 5 minutes is going to suffer. And again, like if you mostly want a smartwatch that has some running features, then that's going to be a great choice for you. But if you're really looking for a running watch, then it's probably not the best choice. And probably the final thing to talk about with running watches or apps or recording your activities is I think there's a lot of benefit to recording. I think there's a lot of benefit to having a history and a record and keeping track of your progress. I think that's a really valuable thing to be able to look back on and reflect on and make changes based on and use. But it's also, you don't want to allow the technology to replace your own involvement in your decision making. So, you know, heart rate is a good reflection of effort, but it's not a causal sort of link thing happening. It's a correlation. So if you are feeling that you're at an easy level and your watch as your heart rate is going through the roof, I'd take your opinion over your watch's opinion. You know, it's a piece of technology that's sort of supposed to help you, but how you feel in terms of your own effort level is far more important than what the watch says. I think that generally speaking, it can be good to kind of like use the watch sometimes to kind of like tune up that what your idea of your easy pace is the same as what your heart rate thinks it is. And that can be like a good reality check every now and then, because people are so geared towards running their easy stuff too hard and their hard stuff too easy. So it can be useful in that sense. But generally speaking, you want to use it as a guide, not a replacement for your own judgment. And I've even noticed this recently with running the 600 meter intervals that I've been doing as part of my rehab. Those 600 meter intervals feel a lot easier when I can't see the pace on my watch. It's just one of those things that I think that the mental side of it can come into play. And if I see a certain pace, then my sort of perception of how much I'm working goes up. Whereas if I don't know and I just sort of run to effort, ends up feeling easier and I end up going faster. So it is definitely something to consider of having it as a way to record, but not necessarily including that information within your run at the time that you were doing it. And just experiment, because sometimes having a pace to chase can make things easier and more likely to push yourself, but sometimes it can have the opposite effect. So you can just sort of experiment with what works and what doesn't, and you know, do a bit of both, and you know, and see where it ends up. But keep it in mind that particularly in the moment where you are doing something hard, more information is not always better. It's good to have the information afterwards, but you don't necessarily need it at the time. And I guess the other peril of recording everything with an app or a watch is that you can get into like app or watch racing. Like you have a certain idea of what the time was that you last ran, you know, like 4 kilometers in, and the temptation to run faster than that is extremely strong, particularly if you can see the numbers. And it's again why it is a good idea to run to effort and to how you are feeling, and to not have that expectation that every run is going to be faster than the last one, because it's a quick way to not enjoy your running, and it completely ignores how many variables there are in running, and how important it is that you run at a super, super easy pace most of the time. And that you running at a faster pace during those runs is not a sign of progress. That's just you running faster. So, you know, like ultimately you would probably be running faster over time at that same easy effort, but you pushing it a little bit to get faster, that's not an improvement. That's you just changing your effort level. So that's also something to keep in mind. It's super easy to do. I constantly have to remind myself to not do it even now. So it can be a good thing to just not necessarily look at your watch or change the data screens on it so that it might be telling you like the total distance, or it might be telling you what your heart rate is, but you don't necessarily have to see what your average or your current pace is. You can put that sort of on a second screen so you don't need to look at it, so it doesn't have to interfere with your process at all. And probably the final thing to keep in mind with anything technology related is that in some ways when you are sort of setting up an interval session or something like that, you're kind of like outsourcing a certain aspect of things to this piece of technology, which for the most part is a good thing because the less you have to think about it, the easier it is to do. But it can also go the other way, where if you are outsourcing all of it to a piece of technology, like say for example, you know, you've got an activity tracker and it's going to tell you when to move, when to not move. Well, it's never going to tell you not to move, but when to move, like how many steps you should be moving. And it's easy in that situation for it to become, because you're not really engaged in that process, you just have your watch telling you what to do, and it's easy for that then that to get reduced into just a box that you need to tick where you're not really engaged in any part of it. And once it's a box you need to tick, then it's a chore, and once it's a chore, then you're just going to start like not wearing your activity tracker so you don't have to do it. And so that is always something to be aware of with any technology that you are using, is that it's there to support you and your engagement with your training process, not as a replacement for that. Because once you replace that, you lose a lot of the joy and interest and curiosity in it. And that's what you need to stay motivated and to stay invested in the process. I think that's it for this week. I will be back next week, hopefully with a far less disgusting voice. Up until the 17th of June, I've opened up annual Run Club memberships, where if you join for the year, then you get a free team singlet or t-shirt. That's only available for people who Run Club members, and normally it would be valued at $59, so you pay $199 for the year in Run Club. You get that free singlet, and Run Club gives you access to a whole range of training plans going from beginner through to advanced. You have a supportive private Facebook group. You have access to coaches to ask questions. There are also weekly workouts that are posted, that some are strength related, some are high intensity interval training related, and there are also a couple of runs in there just in case you're not really on a training plan but you want to sort of spice up your week a little bit. And loads of fun things happening in Run Club generally. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can go and check it out. That will be running for the next couple of weeks, so you have an opportunity, if you're not sure, to ask me any questions that you might have about what happens in Run Club and what you get access to. There's also discounts on custom training plans if you want something that's specifically tailored to you. And Kirsten is the coach in Run Club, and yeah, it's tend to sort of open that up for the annual membership with the free team wear about once every 3 or 4 months. So if it's not quite the right time right now, then in another 3 or 4 months it will be open and you can join then too. But if you have any questions about it at all, you can just have a chat to me in the community group, or you can email me and we can have a chat that way too. Have a great week, and I will speak to you next week. Bye.